This podcast is proud to be a part of the Blueberry Network. Find freshly picked podcasts just for you at blueberry.com. That's blueberry, no ease, .com.
Well, if you don't like it, don't come.
No,
that's not it.
What are we going to talk about, Dave? Let's just tell them what we're
going
to talk
about. We're going to talk about the fact that
I think we should start again.
okay, we'll start again, but we'll play this other part first. Hi, I'm Dave Dufour.
I'm John Shope.
Help, help, help. I'm Marcia Fulmer, and we are theater geeks.
Hi, welcome to Theater Geeks, the podcast about community theater and the performing arts. Today's topic is about audience members. And John, why don't you clarify it?
When audience members either have issues, physical issues that they should let that they should consider before they attend a show, or philosophical issues that they should maybe do a little more research into before they come see a show.
Okay. So there's two things here.
Reason being is because I'm getting tired of watching people sit in the front row and stand up and walk out.
Well, standing up and walking out and they're not walking out because the play is bad. Let's get that very clear. You know, if you're really tired of them walking out, make sure you've got really good shows. And if they're still walking out, then there's another issue. And when the issue is,
I don't know. What
is the issue that people walk out that you're talking about?
Well, content of the show.
Yeah. Right. As shows become, as times change, shows change. Language right. in shows has changed dramatically over the years. The content of some plays has changed over the years. We have interesting plays that are very good shows, but that may have controversial content what some might consider to be obscenity in the shows.
And when you sign a contract, it's a contractual agreement that the show is what it is.
That's the show exactly. is what it is. And you really are not supposed to drop F words out of the script or change things or change anything really.
Right.
So, and a lot of times I think our audience members don't quite understand that. For starters, they feel like, well, you know, the show is good, but you should have taken that out. And they don't realize that, no, you can't
do
that.
You can't do that. Although there are some places that do.
There are some places that do. And I don't even know if there's a gray area in there, but there really isn't a gray area. Not much of one.
I will say some authors are now allowing for that. So for example, last year when we produced Spamalot, there were revisions to the script written by the authors that you could incorporate into your script to make it more palatable for your community.
Right.
And I think there are some, and you're allowed to write to the authors and talk to them about the community and about the fact that you would like to drop that language. And they'll either say no or yes. A lot of times if they want their shows seen, they'll make exceptions.
Right.
But
that's a lot of work for the theater.
Yeah, but by the same token, a lot of the so-called language is character driven.
Sure. Right.
And people have such a hard time.
You cannot substitute golly gosh darn for the F word. Now, come on.
No.
You don't have to beat people over the head with it.
No.
But there are times when you've got to use it.
Well, the F word has become so ubiquitous.
No kidding.
Which for some ubiquitous is a dirty word to some people. And the fact is that it's so everywhere now that it's really hard to write a realistic play sometimes without using it, depending on the characters and the situations.
Well, right. And locally for us, the F-bomb is always an issue, but it's really more taking the Lord's name in vain around here,
right?
Which can be a real problem for our audiences.
And so it comes down to one thing is that for audience members, it does surprise us that when we are fairly explicit about that there is adult language in the show, in our advertising, in our promotion.
On the phone, when we answer the phone.
I would really like to ask the people who protest about the language, what do they consider adult language? Because we've said we're using adult language.
Right.
Now, if this is not what you consider adult language, you know, why are you here?
Yeah. That's a good question.
Right. And the problem is that, you know, the audience members either don't read the promotion or it's hard for me to imagine that our promotion is unclear.
Yeah.
And I think that it just happens, but it's some, and I have to believe that some people kind of enjoy being indignant about these kinds of things, unfortunately, but at the same time, we don't want to offend anybody, which is why we say it's adult language in the show.
Yeah. And exactly. Maybe people consider adult language the S word.
Oh,
But if that's all the farther their adult language goes, then they're very sheltered.
Pretty sheltered, yeah.
And actually, and then they should not, when they see adult language and adult situations, don't let that be a warning. Don't come.
Right.
There are plenty of people who wait to see that to buy a ticket, you know?
Right, yeah.
So,
and then if for some reason you see it, you know it's adult language or adult situations, but you still want to see the show.
Mm-hmm.
If you're offended during the production to the point where you honestly feel you have to leave, then all I'm asking is that patrons maybe consider that up front and think about sitting towards the back, unless they want to choose to show their indignancy I knew that wasn't the right word, that's but I could not come right. up with indignation.
That's what I'm
by
here
popping
for.
Up in the front row and walking out.
Yeah. That's rude to other people.
I mean, then what that ends up doing is it's the people who do feel like it's a great show and they want to be there end up either A, being annoyed and upset with the person that's walking out, or they feel like, oh my gosh, if I don't, you know, should I be having a problem with this show? So right. Maybe they're sitting there enjoying it and all of a sudden they're being taken out, unfortunately, out of the world of the show and being made to feel like maybe they have a problem because they are enjoying it.
Yeah, maybe.
Well,
I don't know. But, you know, we had a...
I know. They get people... The person who stand up likes to throw a little guilt around.
Especially in the Midwest, have a lot of guilt going.
Maybe so.
But, you know, we had a situation in our fall show, Fox on the Fairway, where we actually had two women who were sitting in the front row stand up in the middle of Act One, indignant at the language... And at the sexual connotation, and it's a farce. It's going to have sexual connotation.
Yeah.
It went out. All the publicity went out saying this has adult content,
right?
And they walked over, and they were going to start talking to one of the actors and tell them how indignant they were.
Right.
And luckily, the house manager was able to get down the aisle in time to get to them to escort them out of the auditorium before it got to be a huge blow up. But, you know, it's like if they had either done their research up front,
right.
I just wish more people would ask the question. You know, we're calling to make our reservation, but we see this has adult content. I make sure my box office knows what that adult content is. I tell them what the language is and I tell them what the possible situations are so that they can try to explain that to people on the phone to make them understand that maybe if they have an issue with any kind of adult content, maybe this is not the show for them to attend.
Right. Yeah. So it's being clear is the first step.
Yeah.
But as an audience member, we would hope that people pay attention to what we're telling them.
Right.
And so that's an issue.
We can't continue. We can't just do Neil Simon and Rodgers and Hammerstein forever.
Even Neil Simon has language.
Well, the later Neil Simon had, but they don't use the F word.
Yeah, Brighton Beach.
Oh, Brighton Beach.
Brighton Beach uses it. Okay. And
then I take that back. Then Rodgers and Hammerstein, for Lord's sake.
That's right.
Every musical cannot have them riding off into the happy sunset in a horse-drawn buggy. You know, it just, that's not the way they write musicals anymore. And if the company has any leeway in what they're going to make their selection to put together their season, they have to be allowed to do newer things. And newer things, most of the time, include adult content and or language or both.
Mm-hmm. And also, you know, we're constantly trying to appeal to younger audiences.
Right.
Not that all younger audiences want to hear that either. Again,
they don't hear.
But you know, there are conservative young people as well. And they should be doing the same thing. They should be making sure that they ask the questions up front. But we're by trying to appeal to those younger people, we are trying to do more modern works.
Yeah.
A lot of community theaters are. And that's the way that you're trying to create a new clientele
future. But no matter whether you like that kind of thing or if it offends you, you have to know that the theater is not doing it deliberately to piss you off. I mean, it really isn't.
No, no, it's not. And the idea, I mean, it's because the character, it's the character saying it. I almost wonder about people who feel differently about it being said in a live show as opposed to on a movie or a TV show. It seems like what, I mean, how... is it different or not?
I often think it's that when you come to see theater, you get lost in the experience.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard for people sometimes to separate out the fact that that's not a real person on stage.
It's a real person, but he's playing another person.
Right, but that it's a character. Right.
Character.
You know, when you go to a movie theater and you're eating popcorn and you're drinking your soda.
Spilling your soda all over
and,
the floor.
You know, there's,
and talking.
And talking.
I still think there's some, that I never get so lost, and maybe that's
in
just
a movie.
Me.
No.
I never get so lost in a movie or a television show that I don't know that I'm watching a movie or a television show. I can still go to the theater, and if the story is being told well and the actors are doing a great job and the tech is great, I can get lost in that experience very easy.
Okay.
Only I'm trying to remember once I got lost in a movie to the point where when I came out, I can't even, I was in Washington, D.C. I went to see a movie in Washington, D.C. I walked out of the theater and I didn't really even realize where I was.
Mm-hmm.
And President Clinton was there that night. And he's going to see a movie.
He has a movie theater in his own house.
I thought, well, what's President Clinton doing in Indiana? I mean, that's how lost I had gotten
how
in the movie.
Did you see, John?
You don't even want to know because it's crazy.
What?
The show.
What did you see?
I think it was, I want to say it was Sister Act. Don't ask me why. I don't know.
This is a key to John Shop's character. I hope you heard that.
I love Whoopi Goldberg.
Sister Act.
Anyway, but
Sister
no, I don't remember what the movie was, but it seems to me like it was Sister Act. Oh, everybody's rolling their eyes. But
I
no,
love
I just
Sister Act.
But I just remember being lost that night, but that I was so confused. But I do get that way sometimes in the theater. I have to take that moment and kind of just relax at the end of a show before I actually stand up and walk out of the theater. Because I just want to enjoy that moment. So,
and that's another topic. Standing up at the end of the show.
Standing up at the end of the show. Ovation inflation we've got going on right now. The other issue, the other reason to leave the theater is one that we haven't talked about. That's also kind of an interruption. And I think you should tell your story.
Well, it's just, you know, if you have a physical issue or a psychological issue, because some people, like I know someone who has an issue with claustrophobia. And they cannot sit in the inside the auditorium, but they do a very good job. They know that their daughter performs in shows.
Wow.
And he knows he has this issue. He buys a seat in the back row on the aisle.
Yeah.
So he can sit in the auditorium, but if he has to get out,
he can
get out.
It's right. The wonderful lobby.
But we have people who don't think about that. And so for example, we were doing Thoroughly Modern Millie. And the first act in Millie, no matter how great your pacing is long.
Yeah.
Well, it's so are Rodgers and Hammerstein.
Almost all first acts of any classic musical like that are going to be long.
Right.
So the first act of Thoroughly Modern Millie is like an hour 40. It's long.
Yeah.
And this lady was sitting in the front row, evidently had some sort of physical issue. She had to take a water pill every day. And so just before, like in the quiet moment at the end of act one, she stands up. I took my water pill. I can't believe this act was going this long. I've never been to a show where that the first act has gone this long. Obviously, she didn't see theater that often. She starts just talking about, I got to pee. And she just starts walking down the aisle, talking to herself all the way down the aisle.
How to kill a one act curtain.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah. You know, and it's like, if she had just thought about that, maybe up front.
Yeah.
You know, just that you got maybe a physical issue and maybe I should sit.
Try
a
and
bit
get an aisle.
Well, even in the front row, she just sort of like, I got to go. And just, you know.
Yeah.
Head it out real quietly.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then don't keep talking.
Nobody
down the
does.
And,
you do,
and not everybody wants to know about your water pill and the fact that
exactly.
Your water is full. I mean, that's really not necessary information.
Oh, you're so right.
But, and it's funny that people will do that. And
yeah.
I think some of that goes to the whole feeling that it's like television. Some people think it's like television. I don't know that they can just talk, you know,
yep.
It's fine.
Yep.
because
and thinking about, and if you are going to sit down front or if you're going to sit in the center of the auditorium, think, and you have that issue, oh, just thinking about it in advance is, you know, like, I need to make sure this is a great topic. I got to go to the bathroom before I go into the auditorium.
There you go.
Yeah. I need to take that moment and just make a choice that I'm going to, you know, before I go and sit down. Yeah.
Well, I will tell you that there is a person who is very close to me who always has to sit on the aisle, and before the curtain is even down on the first act, this person is out mm-hmm. into the ladies' room because she knows, you know.
Right.
And you think about that. You should think about that when you get your tickets. Ask to be seated on the aisle.
Yeah.
It's so much easier, and it's so much nicer for the rest of the audience who will not see you rise up and lumber your way out to the back.
Yeah.
And there are other things too. You know, that's the same thing. A lot of people do make sure that, like, I've got a bum right leg that every once in a while, if I sit too long, I have got to get up. Well, try to think about that when you order your tickets. It may mean that you don't necessarily get to see the show from where you normally would enjoy seeing the show, but it may mean that you get to enjoy the show as much as you possibly can, and the other people around you will still enjoy it because you haven't stood up in the middle of the auditorium and
announce that you're going to the ladies.
Excuse me. I need to get out. I can't sit any longer. You know, I need to.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it really goes for any kind of medical condition where, you know, that, you know, you can't be somewhere. I mean, there's always a possibility that you would have to leave the auditorium, get the aisle seat, I guess. That's kind of
and again, you know, there's nothing wrong with asking questions up front. The box office almost always knows how long an act is going to run and how long a show is going to run.
Yeah.
So, you know, ask that question. If you have a physical issue up front, ask the question of the box office, how long is act one?
Yeah.
And they're going to tell you it's about an hour and 45 minutes.
Some theaters now post that.
They do. Yeah.
Which might not be a bad idea.
That's a good idea.
You know, act one runs an hour and 35 minutes.
Right.
So then you know, and you can, well maybe by that time it's too late if you're in the middle of a row.
Even when you do a one act musical sometimes, I remember one time we did a one act musical and somebody, whoever did the opening curtain speech, stood on stage and said, I'm going to talk for about 5 minutes. I just want you all to know that this runs without an intermission. So if you need to do something, do it now. I won't be offended.
John?
No, it wasn't me. I don't remember who it was. I think I was in the show. So maybe it was another. And they did. You saw a couple people pop up and they ran out to the lobby so they could use the restroom before the show started.
Yeah.
You know,
it's cool.
So
you just have to, it's called thinking ahead. That's all.
Think ahead.
Whether it's adult language or a medical condition, think ahead.
Yep.
And just, you know, people like to come out to the house manager in our theater, especially, and complain about how cold it is in the auditorium.
Or how hot.
But mostly how cold. And we keep it cool because the actors, you don't want them looking like they're sweating like pigs, you know? So, but I'm still surprised at the number of people who don't bring a little jacket with them so that they can put it on so that they stay warm.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know what else to do for them. And then they complain, you know, if they just prepare, you know, just prepare
Think
a little
ahead.
Before you come in.
Yeah.
Yep. Because we have pillows, but no blankets.
True.
Blankets. I do, but I'm not going to give people blankets.
Well, that's all from us, I think. I think we've kind of wrapped up that subject. Be sure to stop by the store at theatergeeks.com/store. We've got the hats, cups, mugs. John's favorite is what?
I just don't want to send us off on a bad day today.
It's okay.
All right. I like the coffee mugs. I really do.
Coffee mugs. And
they're really
good. My extra large coffee mug is great. Although my Keurig won't keep up with it.
No, you have to use two of those.
You have to actually use two Keurig things to make one cup because they're that big.
In the extra large coffee mug like mine over there?
Yeah.
That's what I have every day. I love it.
Yeah. Anyway, the coffee mugs are great. There's actually a short coffee mug if you're not a real big coffee drinker. But
and then there is like a beer stein.
There's a beer stein and there's also...
If you're a beer drinker.
There's a little multicolored four cup set of coffee cups that you can get. It's kind of all
where can people catch us, Dave?
New?
No, it's in there though.
I'll have to look at that
it's
one.
It's kind of cool.
Where can people catch us, Dave?
Anyway, that's it. People can catch us at
the Blueberry Network.
Blueberry Network, BLUBRRY with no E's .com. And we can also be on iTunes. We're on Stitcher Smart Radio, the TuneIn Network, and a whole lot of other crazy places.
Marcia just said she got us on Apple TV.
I did.
We're on Apple TV in the podcast section, which is really iTunes, but it's for your Apple TV.
Yeah, but you can listen to us in your own
iTunes through my surround sound system.
Yeah, that's right. You can get us on surround sound.
Yes, we sound great in surround.
That's true. And actually, if you have a Roku box, you can find us in the audio section of the Blueberry Network on your Roku box and listen to us on your widescreen television. And we're in a zillion different places, everywhere you want to be, even in your car probably. So that's all from us. I'm Dave Dufour.
I'm John Schaub.
And I'm Marcia Fulmer. And we are Theater Geeks.
Music for Theater Geeks was provided by MusicAlley.com.
Theater Geeks is a production of the Dufour Creative Network.